lot of content to go through today, so I'm just going to get on into it. Today, I want to deviate from the sermon series, Not Your Ordinary Christian, because it's been a strange couple of weeks. It's been a really, really strange couple of weeks. Do I sound weird? Yeah. Give me a mic. Amen. Amen. We're going to get this worked out because I don't sound bad. I just sound weird. Amen. Amen. Mic number four. Yeah, I'm going to need those. Yeah. Thank you so much. Let's bless the Lord for the praise team. Amen. We bless God for the praise team. We bless God for holiness within the praise team. Amen. The Lord gave me a word for you. First Lady, I need you to hold on before you go up there because you are a witness to this. I need you to hold on now. There was a young lady who stood where you stood. She loved God like you love God. And when she would sing, she would just sway like you sway. While watching you today, the Lord told me to tell you, be very careful. Because there was an attack levied against this young lady that to this day she has not made it back from. The Bible says, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. Because what springs from it is the issues of life. In this season, you are going to have to be extremely funny style. Funny style. In this season, there's some people in your life that you're going to have to get rid of. Because just as the attack was levied against this young woman of God, the Lord showed me, said, Satan's going to try you in ways that you never thought. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak, decree, and declare supernatural victory over your life. I come up against every demonic attack that may try to come up against you, and I decree and declare victory, kingdom victory in Jesus' name. The Lord said you don't have to be scared, but you do have to be watchful. Yes. Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk to you from the topic, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. The morning of Thanksgiving, I was laying in my bed and it was about 3:47, and Miriam was downstairs, and she was cooking and praising God through her Christian playlist, and I couldn't sleep. Not because of her, but because there was just so much on my mind. So I began to search YouTube on some different topics. You know, I know that y'all like to hear that the pastor just, all he watches is stuff about God. No. I began to watch YouTube on some different topics, just looking for something interesting that would take my mind off things. And if I'm being honest with you, and I don't want nobody to get up and run. I promise I'm saved. I just keep it real. But if I'm being honest, I wasn't looking for anything spiritual. I was looking for interviews with different rappers and drug kingpins and gang leaders and At times I find those things interesting. Some people like to watch serial killer shows. You know, I never really got into that. Every time I watch a serial killer show, I don't trust nobody for at least 2 weeks. Amen. So I was scrolling, and nothing was it was a fight going on to watch this stuff, and I ended up seeing one of my favorite preachers that I hadn't listened to in a while. And even though that wasn't what I was looking for, I didn't think it was what I was looking for, I hit the play button, and I couldn't tell you. I was listening to a preacher by the name of Francis Chan, and I couldn't tell you anything that he said. I listened to it for about 3 to 4 minutes, and he was talking, and it was just like mumbling to me. I don't know what happened in that moment, but what I can tell you is I just jumped up with my Bible and my notebook, and I passed Miriam in the kitchen on the way to my cave, and I simply said, as I kissed her on the forehead, everything has changed. Everything has changed. In fact, I think that was the night I called Kevin. I texted him about probably about 3:55, 4 o'clock in the morning now, and he's knocked out. You know what I'm saying? Because Kevin is my go-to guy when we talk about how God has just grabbed hold of us. He's just grabbed hold of us. And so my wife, she asked me, she said, are you all right? And I couldn't answer. I just went to the cave, shut the door, and I started this sermon. And a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was during a Bible study, I asked a question. If we were tired of seeing all the games that's being played with Christianity. And for the most part, everyone in the room that night said that they were. Now I can't explain what's going on with me. I just know that we have a church family and community that has the answers. People think that I'm fronting or that I'm bragging or I'm being arrogant when I say that. No, baby, everybody that is a member of this ministry, and we have several that are out today, but everybody that is a member of this ministry has a struggle story. Amen. I could have easily named this church the X-Man Church. Because the makeup of this ministry is ex-strippers, ex-prostitutes, ex-drug dealers, ex-drug addicts, ex-ex-ex. You pick your ex where you be at. Amen. And for that very reason that God delivered us out of what it was that we was once held captive to, I truly believe that this community of believers has something that the people need to hear. My pastor said X marks the spot. The majority of us have lived our lives, lives of sin and craziness, and we know that life well. Some of us, especially me, who wakes up every day amazed, and this is what I'm amazed at every day. I don't know if I'm here by myself, but I'm just amazed that he saved me. Amen. You know, we were at a homegoing service yesterday. We were at a homegoing service yesterday, and the sister was telling my wife that she knew me and all of this type stuff, and so I went out to see who it was, and I knew the sister, and the brother came down, and he was talking to me, and he was looking at me strangely, and he said, man, I know you. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't say nothing. I like to see him deal with that. You know what I'm saying? And make it fast, my brother. Thank you. You're just snapping. I'm a man. I can take it. Amen. So, love you, Kevin. Yeah, thanks. So I'm sitting down here, and they figure out who I am. They say, Supreme. Oh my God. Oh my God. And I'm just sitting here like, yeah. And so we're talking about some things that's going on with the service and all of this type stuff. And the husband who actually figured it out, he, people are coming down and walking right past me, going to the body, and nobody's saying anything. And he grabs me, literally, we were standing right here, and he grabs me and he says, hey, boy, I know there's a God. and so the guy goes, he was telling his other cat, and he said, yeah, man, I know this guy. If he's right here, and he said, well, he used to knock people out. And he said, and then the wife said, no, that's Supreme. And the dude did this. He went, what? And I'm like, bro, don't act like that. You know? Every now and again, it's good for us to remember who we were. Amen. Not so that you can gloat, not so that you can glorify evil or anything like that, but has anybody ever just thought about where they were? And as jacked up as you was and as messed up as you was, and everybody hated on you but God. And some people question God because of how God loved you. Oh, Lord, y'all ain't hearing me in here today. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so, you know, I just, have you ever just thought about how messed up you had been in your past and you try to make sense of why God still loves you? I'm caught up with that on a daily. I mean, some people trip about the preaching and some people trip about the praying and the community service that we do. I just wake up stumped on, you saved me. Ooh. And when you try to make sense of it, you can't make no sense of it. You know, that you can't make no sense of God still loves you, made the blood available to you, you know, even you. And for some reason, he just won't let you go. How many in the building know something about being so sick and tired of being sick and tired that you wish you could have laid down and not woke back up the next morning? Lord, have mercy. Everywhere you turned, every angle you sought, there was pressure. Some of y'all are going through that right now, but for whatever reason, God won't let you go. He's either sending you a word through a text from somebody just at the right time, or you show up at the church not even knowing why you became, because you had made up in your mind that you was done with God, done with the church and anything that was spiritual because it wasn't working for you. But then you got here and they sung the right songs and the preacher talked all about your situation, and you left the building knowing that God had spoke to you through the sermon one of us had preached. And then you begin to realize that God had an APB out on you and he wasn't going to let you go. Anybody know something about that? Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord. As I look around this room, I think it's safe to say that most of y'all are here for God. And now note what I said. Most of you are here for God. And I'm not going to waste time talking about the ones that's not here for God. We just going to believe that they're going to run into God before they leave. Amen? Now, I've been doing this pastor thing for about 14 years, pastoring for 14 years. And one thing is still the same today as it was when I first got started. The reason that we haven't seen a real spiritual breakthrough in this city is because most of us are looking for a detour. Most of us are looking for a detour. Let me explain. Cambridge Dictionary says that a detour is a different or a less direct route to a place that is used to avoid a problem. And I know some of you might be thinking, well, why would we be trying to take a detour on this walk? Why would we be trying to take a detour on this walk with God? And the answer is in the definition. Lord, have mercy. The answer's in the definition. Most folk want to take a detour because a detour is a less direct route. Oh, God. A lot of folk want a detour to avoid the problem. Allow me to make it plain. In fact, let me show you direct and the problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14, 18 go like this. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what? Y'all already sense the problem, don't you? For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. You should have shouted right there. You are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, verse number 17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will, God says, that he will receive you. Amen. Verse number 18, I will be a father to you,
and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, if everyone in here is being all the way real, how many see the directness and how many see the problem? All right. Either be sons and daughters of God or continue to be everything but a son or daughter of God. Let me make it plainer. Either be a son or a daughter of God or continue to be the hypocrite that you've been. Either be a son, a daughter of God, or continue to be the fornicator that you've been. Fornicator means, you know, sex and people and you ain't married. Either be a son or daughter of God, or you continue to be an adulterous person, you know, somebody that's sleeping with somebody that ain't yours. Amen. See, here's the deal. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to walk the straight path. We have too many people that want a detour. And since there are no detours in this walk, might I suggest that you just get focused and armor up? I want you to catch this. Detours, because I don't want to deal with the directness of having to leave folk in my life that I know ain't clean. I wonder how many times, I don't really wonder it, I know it, I'm just being nice, but as many days that I sit back and I preach to people that I know that on the ride home is the hardest ride home of their life. Because if they were going to be obedient to the word, they would go home and tell such and such, you can't stay here no more. Yeah. Mr. and Mrs., I love God more than anything. I ain't saying you gotta leave. I'm just saying we need to take a little break. Maybe you can stay over your cousins. You. Lord, have mercy. As I look around this room, I see so many new members and some that's been around a little longer yet are struggling with the same situation. And it's really not a situation as much as it is a question. It's not a situation as much as it is the question. And the question is, Pastor, how do I walk this thing out in victory? How do I walk this thing out in victory? And that's a great question for someone who is serious about this walk. And I know it seems like a silly question, but it seems like a question that comes, and I know it seems like a question that comes with an easy answer, but if that was the case, then my question is, why are so many that claim to walk this walk with Christ seem more like victims than victorious? Let me just go ahead and put this out here so everybody understands. You cannot be a disciple of Christ, a child of God, and be a victim too. Clap your hands. Yeah, you can't, you know, you can't be saved and a victim. If that's the case, then why are, you know, if this is a silly question that I asked a little while ago, if that's the case, then why are so many so-called saved people still nasty and mean? If that's the case, then why are so many so-called saved people so much like the people in the world? If that's the case, then why is the saved in the club? Why is the saved, watch this one, still getting high? Why is the saved still sleeping around? Why is the saved still cussing people out? Why is the saved still lying on their taxes? I'll tell you why, but first let me tell you what the answer is not. I do not believe that the answer is because people don't love God. Or I guess I should say, it's not that they don't want to love God. I'm always amazed that when we get so super saved that we forget when there was a time that we struggled with things and we shake our head at the people that's still struggling with things, because truth be told, when you struggle through things, you didn't get over it overnight. That's right. Amen? Yeah. And so I want you to understand that I've kind of, I guess the word is, evolved in my way of thinking when it comes to people that are trying to get to a place in God that is pleasing to God. Amen. I don't believe that's the reason. I don't believe that they don't love God or don't want to love God. You know, in fact, I love God. I know I do. I'm a pastor and a bishop, and I love God. But if I'm just being real, I've got some proclivities. Oh, God. Oh, God, yeah. Let me define proclivities for you. Collins Dictionary says that a proclivity is a tendency to behave in a particular way or to do like a particular, or to do a particular thing often in a bad way. Mm-hmm. Cambridge gave this, and I know y'all ain't used to nobody, no pastor sitting back talking about, I got some proclivities. Because y'all come from them pastors, it's perfect. They ain't got no problems. They got it all together. I'm going to leave that alone. Cambridge gave a scenario that went like this. It went like this. The fact that someone likes something or likes to do something especially wrong, especially considered morally wrong. Oh, God. In short, I like to look at proclivities as simply tendencies. Mm-hmm. Tendencies. And yes, I know that for some of you might be thinking that the word proclivity could be used in a positive sense, such as, you know, my spiritual father up there, Jeff Swain, has a proclivity or a tendency to always try to do the right thing. And so, yes, in that sense, it's positive. But in the manner in which we are speaking of, people who are trying or desire to walk right with God but cannot seem to get it, well, those proclivities, those tendencies will always get in the way of having a true relationship with God. So what do we do with these proclivities, and what do we do with these demonic passions that can ruin our lives, that can destroy our families? How can I gain power over what it is that's had power over me? The Apostle Paul put it like this in Romans 7, 14 through 25, the New Living Translation. So the trouble is not with the law. In other words, Paul says, I'm not blaming anybody. I know the situation. I know what's going on. Amen. The trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me. Oh, Lord, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Play with that for a minute. I don't do what I want to do, but I do what I hate. Let me go ahead and bless you. I don't do what I want to do, but I do what I hate. In other words, I hate hurting myself. So I want to say, don't come through. I want to say, lose my number. I want to say, it's over between us. But what I do is please my flesh, which leaves me broken, busted up, disgusted, hurt all over the place. And that's what I hate. I hate how I feel after I give over to my flesh. You ever notice you get real spiritual after you sinned? You ever notice that? Get real holy after you sin. Come right out of the sin into prayer. Ain't had a shower. Holy. Holy. Just jump right in holiness. Sending texts to people that ain't heard from you in a minute talking about how you ain't going to be on this no more. They don't care. Where was those scriptures before? Where was those scriptures on the way? Oh, God, let me get back into this. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is the sin that's living in me that does it. Now, you want to be very careful here and ask yourself, do I got any sin living in me? Let me just go ahead and tell you, because I don't know about you, Pastor, but when I get down here, I don't know about you, Pastor, when I get down here, I don't know about you, Pastor, but when I get down here, Pastor, but when I get down here, the Lord allows me to identify the atmosphere. Yeah. So you can get up and do your best dance, and I know you're a hot mess. He allows us to identify with the atmosphere. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I'm gonna ask this again. You got any sin living in you? See? Well, I got some sin, but it wasn't like it was. I mean, I had 9 things on my list. Now I got like 4. And I applaud your progress, but get rid of the 4. You only have the 4 because you're comfortable with them. You understand what I'm saying to you? The other 5 didn't really mean that much to you. It was just something you was doing. Okay, we'll go ahead and get back into that. Verse number 18 says, and I know, watch this, nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature, in my flesh. I want to do what's right, but I can't. Let me back that thing up. You know when it says back in 15, it says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. That is a slave. That's a slave. When you are doing things that you don't want to do, but you do them anyway. I don't even enjoy this on the little bit anymore, but I gotta do it. That's a slave. Verse number 19, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it, doing the wrong. It is the sin that lives in me that does it. I have discovered, watch this, this is powerful. I have discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. And in one version it says, I realize that sin is ever before me. Verse number 22, I love God's law with all my heart. See, now you got to remember who's writing this. This is the Apostle Paul. There's no question if Paul loves God or not. And that's why I've kind of taken a back seat on, you know, trying to figure out. First of all, it ain't my business who's saved and who's not saved. Amen. Unless we're working, you know, closely. But I've chilled out on saying, you know, that ain't saved. Or they, you don't love God. Because the reality is there's no doubt that the Apostle Paul loved God, but he was going through some things. You understand what I'm saying to you? So that's why I say I don't necessarily believe that people are having a hard time in their walk with God because they don't love God or don't want to love God, but it's hard to walk away from something that you've been for years. A drug addict once told me, she said, Supreme, I don't smoke crack no more. And I was like, man, praise God, that's so good. She said, I mean, I smoke my weed. And I said, you need to cut that out too. She said, whoa, you don't change yours overnight. Powerful teaching right there. Powerful teaching right there. I want you to catch this. And he goes on, as the Apostle Paul, he loves it. He says in 22, he says, I love God's law with all my heart. Can you imagine the struggle right there when he's writing that? He's saying, I love God's law. Why is he struggling? Because he just said, I'm doing stuff that I don't want to do. I mean, I love God's law. And I don't just love it. I love it with all of my heart. But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is where? Still within me. Hold on, I'm in church and I still got sin within me. Hold up, I'm on the prayer team and I still got sin within me. Hold up, I got a whole title. And I'm still dealing. I'm still a victim to the sin that's within me. Oh, and this is what he says. Listen to what he says. This is how you know he loves God. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Anybody ever been miserable? Anybody know somebody? Y'all must have had it going on all your life. Anybody ever been miserable? Lord, have mercy. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Look at verse number 25. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. I'm sure that many of us can amen Paul's words right here. But the answer is wrapped up in the question and answer of Paul. The question was, remember, how do I walk this walk
victoriously. Check this. In verse number 24, he asks, oh, what a miserable person I am. Here's the question. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Now look at the answer. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want you to catch this. This is so very important because I believe that every soul in this building has a desire to truly walk with God. You don't come to a church like this if you ain't really wanting to be with God, because this church is a little hard on you if you know that you're scandalous on the low. Amen. The way I overcome what's been overwhelming me is through, watch this word, deliverance. Everybody won't shout, everybody won't sing, everybody won't snot, everybody won't cry, everybody won't run around the building, everybody won't speak in tongues. Don't nobody won't be delivered. You see, when you have a baby, the baby delivery is a baby comes out of something. Some of you can't take care of your baby because you don't want it delivered. And so it's deliverance, and it might not happen overnight, but as I continue to trust Jesus and stay in, listen to me now, this is the key. I know you're looking for something spiritually spooky and deep and really off the hook, but the key is to stay in Jesus. Stay in his word, and not just in his word, but apply his word. I want to talk to you real quickly about walking with God. Imagine that you and a close friend are enjoying a walk down, you know, a little country lane or something, and you are, you know, y'all close in proximity. You know, Mary, come here real quick. And, you know, you laugh and you listen and you share your hearts, right? You know, everybody been on that walk before, right? And your attention is focused on this person, huh? You know, nothing else matters in the world but this person. You see what I'm saying to you? And you know, so you notice the beauty around you, and you you see an occasional distraction, but only to point it out to your companion. You see that? It's never to let anything come between us, but it's to let you know the distraction is there. Because this walk's supposed to be about me and you. You see the distraction? Huh? Now, you share it together, you are in harmony, and you both got this type of, you know, you're enjoying this camaraderie, this, you know, this intimacy even. Amen. And walking with God is like that. When we enter into an intimate heart relationship with God through faith in his son, he becomes our heart's greatest desire. Listen, I never can claim that I walk with God doing this. She's walking and I'm, is that a speaker? That's a church. Shut up. What'd you say? Huh? You know. The other day, you can have a seat back. The other day, she was talking to me. In fact, it was yesterday, I won't lie. And she was, we started a conversation, and I had to go upstairs because I wanted to lay down. And she just kept talking, and I said, she'll figure it out in a minute. I'm not anywhere with her. I'm not anywhere. But that's what happens with God. God is, we're walking with God because get this. I want to get this straight. God won't walk with you because he ain't going to go some places you will. So you walking with God, you understand? And then when you're not, whatever calamity or tragedy that you fall victim to, that's on you because you stop walking with the way maker. Amen. All right. So get this. When we're walking with him for real, he becomes our heart's desire, pleasing him, knowing him, hearing his voice, sharing our hearts with him, and seeking to please him become our all-consuming focus. He becomes everything to us. Meeting with him is not just something we do on Sunday morning. We live to fellowship with him.
A preacher by the name of A.W. Tozer states the goal of every Christian is to be, watch this, should be to live in a state of unbroken worship. This is the only possible when we walk with him. Tozer said, listen, the key to this whole thing is to live in a state of unbroken worship. In other words, there is nothing that breaks my worship with God. Amen? So hold on now. Because that's what amen means. I agree. So get this. There is nothing that is going to break my worship with God. Let's just have a very real moment right here. Will everybody promise to be real? I mean, you in church, you know God's watching. He said the key is the goal of every Christian should be to live a life in a state of unbroken worship. Unbroken worship. How many's worship will be broken on the way home? That's real, ain't it? Yeah. How many's worship will be broken on the way home? So what I'm saying, how many of you going to listen to some music with some cussing in it? Broken worship. How many of you going to end up in somebody's crib that ain't your husband or your wife? And let me just tell you something. I don't care nothing about that going together. That ain't nowhere in the Bible. They didn't go together. How many of your worship is going to be, you feel me? It's going to be broken on the strength of that. So I don't know why, but I'm not going to publicly embarrass anyone, but because I don't know this answer to this question. But let me ask you this, though. I will ask this. How many got people at the crib that ain't they husband or a wife, and you ain't going to kick them out when you get home? Don't raise your hand. Keep some things private. Unbroken worship. How many of you are going to have a foul attitude tomorrow because you're going to blame it on Monday? So if you show up for work late, it's Monday. I know they better go on somewhere. It's Monday. I wish you. Huh? Unbroken worship. See, this isn't just about sex and all these things. You know, I talk about that a lot because I understand that folks struggle with that a lot. But how many are going to smoke a blunt from now until next Sunday? How many are going to get drunk from now to next Sunday? Unbroken worship. How many are going to cuss somebody out? How many got it planned that as soon as I run into such and such, I'm going to cuss them out? Unbroken worship. And guess what? While you have that in your heart, because I heard some amens, I heard some woo, while you got that in your heart, guess what? Sin is living in you. So for whatever reason that you want to break, cuss them out, for however they victimized you, guess what? They still winning in your life because you still got it in your heart. Oh, God. Oh, God. Let me get y'all on out of here. Just as walking with a close friend requires saying no to too many other things, so walking with God requires letting go of anything that would be a distraction. But I love you more than anything. But I ain't gone. Give up my distraction. Make it make sense. If you are on a walk with your friend, but you brought your phone with you and you played on the phone all the time, the walk would not be as satisfying for your friend as it was to you. Many people attempt to walk with God, but they bring along these jacked up habits, sins, worldly entertainments, or unhealthy relationships. They know that these things are not God's choice for them, but they pretend that everything is fine. I mean, I know he'll trip, but he coming to church with me next Sunday. Ain't nothing good about that. Let me just go ahead and speak to every single woman in this building right now. If you are dealing with a man that is not saved, walk away. It is not your job to put him together. God's in the putting together business. Your job is to be able to love him. Your job is to be able to, you know, share all of these things. But stop sitting around. And if you done had that man for over a year and he ain't got saved yet,
He's not for you. Oh, it's tight in here. Oh, it's tight in here. Yeah. This is usually about the time we don't see people for 3 or 4 Sundays after this one. Listen. The relationship, I want you to catch this. To walk with God, that means that you and God are in agreement about your life. Let me see your Bible, baby. To walk with God, it means that you and God are in agreement with your life. God's already in. He's already down for it. He don't have to work for it. You don't have to talk to him about it or any of that. He's God. He knows the will for your life. You understand what I'm saying to you? The problem is we sometimes have a hard time coming into agreement with his will for our life. See, in college, you can go through college 4 years and never truly agree with your professor, but you could pass the class. But in this kingdom walk, you have to agree with your instructor. Your instructor being Jesus, and you have to agree with him. There is no, I feel you for the most part, but there's this one part. No, ain't no part. You agree with all of it. That's how you walk with God. In fact, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? How you going to walk with somebody you don't agree with? Huh? Think of your enemy right now. Now think about walking with him for 20 minutes. It's not going to be a good walk, is it? But in Hebrews 10 and 27, it says that there is a fearful indignation for the adversary of God. So in other words, when we decide that we know God, we know what he done, we know the sacrifice and all of that, but we're going to walk contrary to him, now all of a sudden, he says, for he who receives the knowledge of the truth no longer is there a remission for his sins. So he says, but there is a fearful expectation of a fiery indignation for the his adversary. So now we went from being sons, daughters, friends to the enemy with God. And y'all better quit running around here listening to all this. And I love me some K-Love, but let me tell you something. Sin exists. Hell is hot. I'm always concerned about people that want to preach. Just Jesus is going to bless you. Jesus is going to give you a mansion. Jesus is going to give you a boo, a bear, a husband, and a wife. And don't say nothing about you are on your way to hell. If you don't get yourself together through this word, you understand what I'm saying to you? You don't have to be perfect. None of us is. But your heart's desire is to be pleasing to God, and you are willing to let his spirit conform you to the image of his son. In other words, you should be so off in this book that you begin to look like Jesus, that you begin to speak like Jesus, that you respond like Jesus. You understand what I'm saying to you? It isn't just this, some little book, I must read this before I go to bed, and I'm straight. I'm going to read it before I go to work so I don't cuss nobody out. No, you are supposed to sit down in this book, and it is supposed to be you. And every answer to any question should come from that book. And he says in the word, and when you get to that point, you ain't going to just have success. You're going to have good success. So when the Bible, I'm almost done, I promise. When the Bible speaks of walking, it often refers to a lifestyle. We can walk in the ways of the world as well. You understand that? In the New Testament, walking with God is often called walking in the Spirit. To walk with God means we choose to glorify him in every way we can, regardless of personal cost, and there's going to be cost. People run around here telling you salvation is free. I don't know what salvation you're getting. Now, you know... Me and Miriam argue about this all the time. When I go to Kroger's, I don't go for the Kroger ketchup. I go for Heinz. Do not bring me no Hunts and no just Kroger ketchup. I don't know what type of salvation, some type of save-a-lot salvation we embarking upon where we think it ain't going to be no cost. This won't cost. I liked doing the things that I was doing. This won't cost. Can't believe the pastor said he liked the things he used to do. You did too. Why I gotta be some super animal that, you know, what
terrible sin I was in. Oh, what just depressing. I look, if you was in some depressing sin, you wasted your sin. That's why it's so hard to go away from, because it was good to you. It felt good to you. Let me put it like that. It wasn't good to you, but it felt like it was good. Oh, God. Listen. To walk with God
means we choose to glorify him in every way that we can. And there's going to be a cost. Walking with God also means we cannot also walk with evil people as companions.
There's some real life surgery going on in here. Some of y'all's poker faces is horrible. Yeah. You to walk with God, you don't get to keep the ungodly. In fact, let's just discuss how that don't make no sense. I'm going to walk with God and the ungodly. Pursuing God. See, here's the problem. Everybody's trying to figure out how to be saved. All you got to do is pursue God. As long as you pursue God, you won't pursue sin. You can't be trying to have a closer walk with thee, trying to have a closer walk with he or she. Oh, man, this is really 1 + 1, I promise. And y'all acting like, we know all this. Well, why ain't I seeing it?
Watch this. We're almost done. I know. Aspirin in a cafe. Amen. We choose the narrow road over the broad way to destruction. We don't live to please our flesh, our sinful flesh. We seek to eliminate from our lives everything that does not next level our walk with him. Some of us are trying to figure out why we can't walk this walk. It's because of some of the company that you're keeping. Do not be deceived. It's 1 Corinthians 11 and 31. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So I'm all the way at the basic. I'm all the way at the bottom. So if you're going to walk this walk out for real, you don't get to keep hanging with the people that don't care about God. If you're going to keep the people that ain't going to get saved, that ain't going to get their life right, that ain't going to get on point, if you're going to keep them, just go on and go to hell on the A train. Because you don't get to have a foot in and a foot out. You don't get to do it. So this is grown folk talk right here. What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to go down the road that you've been going down? Or are you going to say, I'm getting ready to cut loose everything that's been hindering my destiny and my walk with God? That's the question. And if you ain't going to let go of what you know you need to let go of, then shut up about what you're going through.
I want to say this, listen, God's ways should be reflected in our thoughts, in our actions, in our motivations. His thoughts should be reflected in our thoughts. His ways should be reflected in our thoughts, our actions, and motivations, and our life choices, because we spend so much time with him. There it is. Write it down. How do I walk this walk victoriously? You spend a lot of time with him. You spend a lot of time with God. Not on YouTube, not on Facebook, not on Twitter, not on Instagram, not on TikTok. You spend a lot of time with God. The majority of your time should be spent with God. That's how you get to a place in God where you see spiritual maturity.
Everybody want to play ball. Don't nobody want to practice. He said, practice. Practice. We're talking about practice. And now he's broke. It's the only way. Don't you believe nothing else. The only way you're going to get it, the only way it matters, the only way it counts, the only way it kingdom counts is if you spend time with him. Now tell the truth and shame the devil. How many of you have spent more time on Facebook than in the book? Yeah. Yeah. You talk to people that you don't know on a daily basis more than you talk to the only one that can help you. Listen to this. 5 minutes, I'm done. It's not difficult. Did you get the answer? Did you get the answer? We walk this walk victoriously because we commit our lives to Him. Just like you committed to that relationship, just like you committed to the dope game, just like you committed to the liquor store for so many years, just like you committed to porn, just like you committed to being a gossiper, just like you committed to being a liar. How are you going to say I committed to be a liar? Because you kept lying. Just like you committed to all of those things, now you've got to commit to God. Now you've got to commit to God. And anything else is faulty training for the kids that's up under you. It's hypocritical training for the children that's up under you. You're playing games. Listen, it's not difficult to identify people who walk with God. Their lives is a contrast, a big contrast to the world around them, like stars in the nighttime sky. Check this out. In Galatians 5 and 22, we know the folks in Galatians that therefore whether you, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, and all of those, right? 22 through 23. But then the fleshly one is Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And when you talk about 19 through 21, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. You know what evident means? Oh, that was easy, see. That's easy. That ain't. And it says, what are they? They are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatries, sorcery. You better stop reading them horoscopes. Better stop reading them horoscopes. Oh, it's about 20 of you in here. Better stop reading them horoscopes. Horror. Scope. You better stop reading that witchcraft. It's witchcraft. Yeah. Tarot cards and all. Witchcraft. Hatred. Yeah, you're just a hater. If you know you're a hater, it's flesh. It's evident. And let me just tell all haters something. It ain't like we don't know. Just because we ain't said you a hater don't mean we don't think you a hater. Contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions. Ooh. Some of you are connected in relationships to people with selfish ambitions. Let me finish this thing. Acts 4 and 13, we out. Peter and John had been arrested for preaching and were brought before the authorities. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. When we walk with God every day, the world cannot help but recognize that in spite of our imperfections, we ain't perfect. In spite of the imperfections, Lord have mercy. And lack of knowledge in some areas, they still know that you've been with Jesus. It says in 4 and 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled. In other words, they was blown away, and they realized that Peter and John, they had been with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. Yesterday, it was such a blessing to my heart when the guy said, there has to be a God. Because he knew of my background. He knew of my past. He knew of some of the horrendous things that I had done. But with all of his knowledge of who I used to be, he was able to recognize Stephen has been with Jesus. Beloved, I want to say this to you. Some of you are trying to figure out how to break the strongholds. Some of you are trying to figure out, is this person for you? Is this God? And, you know, And here's how you figure it out. Here's how you figure it all out. Walk with God. It will reveal everything. The old seasoned saints used to say, it's going to drive or draw them. If you'll walk this walk with God, it's kind of like a security system. Because, you know, after, if you walk this walk, you know, after the fourth date, and you saying, you can stay in the car, I'm good. I had a great time. Bless you. And then they hit you in the morning and be like, you know, I don't think, you know, we can keep doing this. It'll save you. Gives you revelation. The scriptures will save you. Walking with God will make sure you never play yourself again. But here's the thing. You're going to have two things for this. You're going to have faith in God, and you're going to have to know that you have a worth. You have to know that you have a worth. You have to know that you have to believe that you're worth waiting on. You have to believe that you're worth dinner and a movie and that's it. This thing will wolf-proof you.
Come on, Bishop.
You understand me? You ain't getting nothing until I get your last name. You down? And we ain't marrying in 3 months because you feeling some type of way in your flesh. I come to declare right now, I just want everybody to know that don't come to me for marriage counseling if y'all haven't courted for a year. Don't come to me for marriage counseling if you haven't dated for a year and watch this and you was holy and he kept his word. Can I talk to the single people real quick? Get the key. I'm serious. I want you. You mean everything to me. You know, I love you. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you. Then you ain't got no problem getting to know me spiritually as well as getting to know me naturally. No, I ain't got no problem. And so that I'm not wasting my time, I'm going to need a key. And I might pop up at 1:47 in the morning with a Christian friend because I need a witness. I need a witness. I need a witness, and I might need somebody to pull me out of there. I might need a witness, and I might need bond. But what you ain't going to do is have me thinking, going into a marriage with you, and you was playing me all the while, I thought you was waiting like I was. You're going to have some worth in yourself. You're going to have to believe that you deserve the best. The best. Don't curse your blessings. That is how you never have to cry another tear over somebody doing you wrong. Walk with God. This is grown-up conversation. And I say that because, as I say this, I look around this room and I go, you ain't going to do it. I see some of you and I know in my heart, you ain't going to do it. You're going to keep rolling dice with your virtue. Come on, 7 or 11. Broken every time you crap out. If there's anybody in the building today that understands that it's all or nothing and you are tired of playing Russian roulette with your heart, shooting dice with your virtue, and today's the day that you say, I'm ready to walk this thing out for real. I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be crazy. I know it's going to bring some challenges, but I know it's going to be worth it. I know it's going to be worth it. I know I'm going to change. I know I'm going to train my child. I know I'm going to train my children by this conversion. I know I'm going to save my children, save my grandchildren by this conversion.